Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, we got a hell of a show today, boy. Full hour, and Mark's at the top of his game. Guy makes me laugh. I don't know why. Well, he's funny. First, True Car, 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial lasts. What else can you do in a minute? Get an offer on your car. Just go to True Car from your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, and watch your car details come popping on up. Answer a few questions. Get your accurate True Cash offer from your local True Car certified dealer. Then bring your car in. They'll check it out with you. You can walk around the car. You can ask questions. You will get answers, or you give them answers and they'll ask questions. Then you leave with a check or you trade in your car for a new ride. So let's review. You want a new car, you go with True Car. You want a used car, you go with True Car. You want to leave with a check and Uber home and drop off your old car? Well, then you go with, you guessed it, True Car. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice bigger than a mandate. Get it on and welcome to the best hour in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. That's Mark Garagus. I'm Adam Carolla. Where is Mark Garagus?
Well, I'm no longer in New Orleans now. I'm in, well, by the time you listen to this, I'll be in L.A. Oh. Even though we're not in the studio together. Because you're traveling this weekend, right?
I am heading out to Portland to do an event with Mario Andretti, who just keeps going.
Portland? What are you going to go beat up some
Antifa?
What are you going to do? Antifa? A little Antifa action?
Oh, yeah. It's last night as you
hear this. Wait, you're going to do an event with Mario Andretti?
Yes.
Did Mario Andretti, when we were kind of high school / junior high, wasn't he the promotional guy for STP?
That was one of his big, yes, that was one of his big sponsors was STP. He's kind of become this ambassador for motor racing. He's a guy who did dirt track, a guy who did Indy, a guy who did F1. You know, this is equivalent to playing football, basketball, and baseball at a professional level back then. Where now,
right,
everyone picks a sport.
This guy is clearly the Bo Jackson. He's the Bo Jackson of racing. But whatever, I want to know, the only thing I want to know is whatever happened to STP and those stickers. I used to love those STP stickers.
It was funny. There were all these products, and STP was one of them. And stickers, boy, you want to talk about a childhood bereft of entertainment. Stickers were a form of not only entertainment, but their form of currency. You could trade stickers.
Oh, absolutely.
They had all the automotive stickers were the best. Kind of one of the coolest things about one of my old vintage race cars is looking at all the crazy stickers that are on them that you never see anymore. And yeah, he drove, I believe it was like the STP Lightning Turbine car at Indy. They did a turbine car at Indy.
Do you know what else?
Yes.
Next to the STP sticker would be, do you remember the little foam styrofoam 76 ball?
Yes.
Is that before your time? Or you remember that? And you put it on your antenna, or you'd put it on something else, you'd stick it on. That was right up there with an STP sticker. You could trade for that.
The notion of these kinds of things, which was funny. Yeah, there was a round styrofoam ball back when people had fixed antennas, and you'd set it on top of the fixed antenna, and there it would live as an advertisement for Union 76, which, by the way, I don't know. It didn't add to the drag. It did add to the drag coefficiency of the car. Like, it's not like you got better mileage. Ironically, you got worse mileage from putting these balls on. If you think about Union 76, they probably made themselves an extra couple hundred thousand a year by the aerodynamic drag from the balls they put on and the weight that was added to every car in the Southland. There was also funny bygone era that you'll never see again is the spokesperson for Union 76 was a redheaded Irish guy named Murph. And Murph.
Oh, my God, Murph. I remember Murph. How did you remember that?
Because I always think about it.
He looked like the full service guy. Murph was dressed in a uniform and was full service.
There was a guy who ran the Union 76 that was at the bottom of the hill. So when I lived up in Beechwood Canyon, there was one gas station you could use if you live in Beechwood Canyon. It was the one down at the bottom of Beechwood Canyon and Franklin. Other than that, you'd have to drive around a little. So that was always my, you know, if I was running late to do Loveline and I needed gas, I'd have to go down there and use that gas station. And there was the most angry, I don't know, Palestinian guy who worked behind the glass. And I would
he
just
was probably an Armo, but you're just being nice.
I am being nice. I'm sure he was Armenian. Yeah. And I would
his
like
name was his name was Rafi or Zaben.
Yes.
Or something. But you all of a sudden you're blaming the poor Palestinian.
I think his name was Shant or Shunt or right. Something. And I would I'd say to him, look, Union 76 is literally doing a campaign boasting of having clean, soapy water in every one of their squeegee hoppers. And your squeegee hopper has a quarter inch of black pool water at the bottom of it. And you guys are in the middle of a campaign touting your clean, soapy water. You should get on it. And he'd be like, what is? What is? And I'd say, look, can I use the bathroom? No, this is not. And it's like I would point at a Snickers bar and go, give me that. What is? You take Snickers. No, you take Milky Way. And I was like, would literally argue with this guy. And at a certain point, I was like, where's Murph? Where's Murph? Because Murph would run out in a rainstorm to help someone push their car that ran out of gas. And you're fucking giving me the stink eye the entire time. He would yell at me through the speaker. You know, I'd be like, use pump 7. Pump 7. I'm on pump 7. 14. You're on the wrong side. Like, he was a dick. You couldn't use the bathroom.
Well,
the water was not clean.
That reminds me. Was that the time period when you would pay and then you'd get a specific pump, and then they'd
yes.
go through the speaker, and it would be like, pump 8, pump 8.
I hated this guy so much, and it was like, you do the thing where, like, you'd ask for the candy bar, and he'd push the drawer out, and you'd give him $2,
right.
And he'd push the drawer back in your chest, you know.
Cash in,
and
right.
And it was funny. He would just look at you the whole time. He would never go, thank you, or come again, or anything like that. He'd just stare at you. And one time, after him just staring at me, I think it was like a situation where I was like, you know, give me a Three Musketeers bar. And he was like, hey, give me $2. And I'd be like, yeah, it's in the car. Just give me the bar, and I'll give it $2. And I'm like, look, I've been here for 4 years. I come here twice a week. I just, really, you don't? $2. And it was like, at a certain point when
what I don't understand is how did you remember that his name was Murph?
Murph is the name of the.
You remembered Murph.
I just remember when I was a kid because Richard Slattery played Murph for 14 years. He was the red-headed, kindly gentleman who was the face of Union 76, not Shant. And I was sitting there. This guy, Mark, this guy pissed me off so bad once.
We didn't have we went Irish as opposed to Armo 14
yes.
years ago.
I hated this guy so much. One time, he slid me my candy
bar.
You
didn't hate Murph. You hated
Shant. No, I hated Shant. I hated this Shant so much that I he after he gave me my candy bar, I just looked at him through the glass, and he would just look at you. He would never say thanks or anything. Right. And I just undid
you
the candy bar.
You did not get a Shinora Gollum out of Shunt.
I did that. I pulled the wrapper off the candy bar very slowly. I just kept staring at him, and I just dropped it on the ground. I just kept staring at him. Just walked to my car. I was like, fuck you, douche. But it drove me nuts because I'm a multitasker. Like when that car's filling up, I want to clean the windshield. And they were running ads about clean soapy water, and this guy had black pool water in his thing. And it drove me nuts.
Do you know what always bugged me about Murph? What I didn't understand about Murph. For those who don't remember, and you can see remnants of it today. When was the last time you went to Dodger Stadium? Adam, you've been there.
Oh, right? I went there for the playoffs or whatever. That World Series
76 is a big sponsor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So back then, 76 was huge for the Dodgers. And they used to have Vin Scully used to do stuff, ads for him. And I used to think, why do they have this dapper, redheaded Vin Scully on one hand and then Murph on the other? I couldn't reconcile the two guys. It would be like having Shunt and then, I don't know, Kim Kardashian, doing it for the same product. It didn't make sense.
It was a simpler time. And obviously it was strong. You know, white nationalism was probably at the peak of its powers. And we were sending a message to my white Aryan brothers that this is the place you it'll cost a few more shekels. It ain't Arco, but it's worth it if you're white, because you'll have Murph come running
also,
out.
So I think there was a conspiracy theorist back then, speaking of white nationalism, because I remember that there was a very well-founded in the sense that we believed it, thing that you could not put 76 gasoline into a Porsche or a German car.
Oh,
that
really?
It would destroy the engine. Do you remember this rumor? Because this was a very, very strong rumor at the time.
We couldn't do it because it was an extra 2.5 cents a gallon. So, like, the Corollas never got near the 76. But that was always the gas. That's the gas you aspired to back when people cared.
What were you? You were an Arco guy back then, right?
We were whoever the cheapest was and whoever gave out the most green stamps or blue trading stamps. Do you remember that?
I never understood. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Sprouts is now used to be I forget the market. I want to say Vons, but it probably wasn't Vons. And this is well before it was a sports chalet. And my mom used to take us shopping there. And then we're talking in the 60s. I say, Mom, why do we always come to this dump? And she'd say, because of the green stamps. And she'd make us, like, it was like we were excited to paste the green stamps into those stupid little books. Do you remember the books?
Yeah. Now, see, Kalen and Gary don't know what we're talking about. They used to be called,
I have no idea,
S&H green stamps. And they would give you stamps. Like, if you went to the Vons and bought $40 of groceries, they'd give you 10 stamps. And if you went to the Arco or the Chevron and you filled up with gas, they'd give you 12 stamps or whatever it is. And eventually, you'd get enough stamps to buy something worthless. You could then fill up your booklet with stamps and you could buy like a camping stove. But no one ever went camping. Like, it was always something stupid. Like, let's buy an archery set. But it was all junk. And you'd go to the S&H.
Aspirational.
It was very,
very aspirational, because if you had, like, there was always the unattainable 200 books would give you something you actually wanted.
Yeah,
there
like
was
a
nothing but garbage between $0 to $199.
These are like, remember Marlboro Bucks, Gary, from like back in the day?
Yeah.
Like, if you turn in enough packs of Marlboros, you'll be able to get a pup tent or something. It was always something very counter to smokers. Like, it's always outdoor equipment, but the thing that is, like, you're like convening with nature and chain smoking. It was a weird juxtaposition, but the green stamps would always start a battle royale at the Corolla house, because we kept them in a shoebox, And at some point, the big treat.
Oh, my God. So did we. We had a Florsheim shoebox. I remember vividly.
It was
the Florsheim shoebox was, and it was, my mom kept them on the little counter in the closet. So when we were like young, we couldn't get up that high.
Yes. They were up on the top shelf because they had value. Right. And, my fucking parents, like, what do you think I'm going to do? Sell these stamps and move to Mexico and start a new life? Jesus fucking Christ. We didn't even have air conditioning. God damn. My family was so fucking cheap. And they didn't even trust their kids. My grandmother, my grandfather make a big pot of goulash. And at some point he'd go, take some home, and he'd start ladling it into a piece of Tupperware that was like a prototype from 1949. And my grandmother would be like waving him off, like, no, not the tub. No, come on, Lachi, put it in a pickle jar.
You unintentionally, maybe intentionally, just hit on something that was like a singular feature of my childhood, was my father's arguments with my mother about air conditioning.
Do you
remember what a big deal air conditioning was in the 60s? It was my father, every time my mom wanted to turn on the air conditioning, go, God damn it, you were born in Fresno. You what? You need air conditioning? What are we in the Central Valley? You gotta turn on the air. Do you remember air was such a big deal?
Listen, first things first. I never lived in a house with air or central air in it my entire childhood. What we had, here was the air, apparently, to you, Mark Aragos.
Air, apparently, that's pretty good.
We had.
A-I-R, also H-E-I-R.
My mom's house was 100 years old in the San Fernando Valley. It was bought 4 years ago for $680,000 and bulldozed to the ground. So that's the shape that house
was. What was the size of the lot?
The house was like 900 square feet, and the lot was just big enough for that. And someone paid almost $700,000 and bulldozed it and built a little McMansion there. That house did not have central air. That house had one unit. It was a window unit. The window unit was in the den, which was also my stepdad's bedroom. My mother and my stepfather slept in separate rooms, and his was the den. We would sit on my stepfather's bed and watch TV because that had the air box in it. That had the air conditioner. The air conditioner in my stepdad's room, the window, because it was a house from, like 1881 or something.
What was the structure, though? Because most of the houses in the valley of that era were kind of like post-war 1950s.
This was built before the war, before the fucking Civil War, before the French Indian War. Like, it was
the War of 1812.
Yes,
they built the Corolla mansion.
Literally, it had two front doors. It had one bedroom, one bathroom, and there was no air, and it was in the wall, The unit itself was probably about 2 foot wide, but the window was like 4 foot wide. And when you bought these stupid window mount units, they would give you these accordion stretchers that were on the right and the left to like close off, to make up the gap, right? To close
off
the air.
It's so funny you notice that, because in our house, we had one of those, and I always used to, I'd sit there, and I always thought there was something wrong with me. Maybe there was, but I would say, why did some guy have to come up with a product that had to kind of cover over some other guy's idiocy and not be able to just cut the right size? You know what I mean?
Yeah, David, you buy it at Sears, although we probably bought ours used at a garage sale, and it came with this weird accordion flap that you would stretch out because maybe you had 3 inches gap. If your window was 3 foot wide and your unit was 28 inches, you'd have a gap on each side. So sometimes they were small, but sometimes they were big. You'd have to like stretch them out. Ours broke. So we had an opening to the outdoors next to the air conditioner because the stupid plastic accordion thing just degraded with the sunlight on it and it broke. And God forbid you buy a new one. Like, I don't know where you could get a used one. We wouldn't buy anything new. So eventually, my mom took the jean legs when you would make cutoffs. Jean cutoffs, you'd cut the leg off. That thing was like, we're eating every part of the fucking buffalo over at the Corolla house. You don't throw away 19 inches of jean of denim. That's got a street value. So my mom took one of the legs and took pins, push pins, and pushed them into the wood window and hung it as a flap next to the air. Security was a priority at the Corolla house. And I know it very well because our cat, which was a stray cat, which evidently had incredible low self-esteem, and he like just kind of showed up on our porch one day, Norman, that was how he got in and out. You'd be sitting there with the 13-inch Zenith black and white TV on the chest of drawers next to the air conditioner that was buzzing away, like facing the same direction, and all of a sudden Norman would just pop up like through the jean, and like when he wanted to leave, he'd just jump up and go through the flap again. It was like 3 foot off the ground. That was his doggy door. That stupid thing had the one fucking unit. That was it. Now I slept on a service porch in the back of the house, so I just had to go duke it out with the elements. There was no, I did not have insulation. I did not have drywall on the ceiling. I had 2x4 ceiling joists with plywood and then roofing tar on top of it because I slept on a porch in the back, which was supposed to be just like a service porch, but they put like a 6-foot awning roof over it. No air, no insulation.
Can I ask a personal question?
Can you sue my parents? They're still alive.
Well, I have a couple of questions. What age were you when your stepdad married or got hooked up with your mom?
They met at a Primal Scream therapy encounter group. So that's okay. A plus.
So that would have been 69.
I tried to sift through this rubble with my dad the other day. I was probably,
it's interesting.
I was probably eight or nine.
What year were you born?
I was born in 64.
Okay.
My parents were never divorced because that would have cost money. There was nothing to whack up and nobody wanted custody over anybody. My dad left. Right.
Nobody was fighting over Adam.
My dad didn't have furniture. He didn't own. Now, keep in mind, he didn't own the piece of shit house. That was grandma's second house. So he just was there and he just left. And he was so destitute. When I was about eight, he probably left. And he went to his in-law's house up the street in North Hollywood and crashed in my grandfather's office, which were
your dad was at your mom's parents' house.
Yes, one bedroom.
Your mom, meanwhile, is primal screaming with your stepdad.
My mom at that point was single, but not ready to mingle. And she probably met my stepdad, John, like 2 or 3 years later. Then they just lived together because they didn't need to get married. They didn't want to get married. They just lived together.
Back then, that was marriage was verboten.
And my mom was never divorced. So she couldn't really get married. She wasn't divorced from her last train wreck. My grandparents had the second unit, wall mount, window mount unit in their bedroom at the house my dad was now crashing at. So we got two houses, two window mount units. But again, I didn't sleep in my stepdad's den, and I didn't sleep in my grandparents' bedroom. I slept in places that did not have, the rest of the house didn't have air and no fans. They didn't have ceiling fans or oscillating fans. You just lay down and just were covered in your own sweat. Jesus Christ. I will tell you the third sad air conditioning unit
story in a moment.
Mark, I'll give you something to gnaw on.
Okay.
Two houses in the San Fernando Valley, two window mount air conditioners, one clothes washing machine, zero dryers. So far, we have two homes, freestanding homes, in the San Fernando Valley, two wall mount air conditioners, only one washing machine, and zero dryers. That's a tough tally.
Okay.
All right.
I've got something to respond to.
You know, not the best. I'll tell you, AIS. That's right. But you could have. Now, sorry, Mark, but when people try to explain to me how my white privilege works, it's a tough sell. It's a toughish sell. AIS, just another commercial, but you may want to listen to this one because I just met Mark and Susan from the auto insurance specialist. They sell car insurance, and they do it with a unique twist. SmartQuote technology compares the rates and coverages of lots of insurance companies. Then you pick your price. Doesn't get simpler than that. They save you a ton of bucks. On average, their AIS customers save $640 when they switch. So that can be you, and that's the average, man. AIS, these guys are experts. They love cars, by the way. I met them over at the other shop, and they looked at my cars, and they insure my cars. Insurance rates are rising fast, so you got to compare to save. Best way is to let AIS do the shopping for you. Give them a call, 800-777-4AIS, or you can go online, AIS Insurance/doubt, and save an average of $640. All right.
Third. Tell me.
Yes.
Remind me after the third, Gary is going to explain why I have an apology to our listeners, but I want to hear the third first.
My dad, after being asked to leave my grandfather's den after several months, eventually settled into a one bedroom apartment in North Hollywood on Laurel Canyon. You know, built in the 60s kind of thing. Again, no central air. One more window mount unit in his bedroom. It was a one bedroom. I'd have to like sleep on the sofa if I slept over there. Then he made his way into an A-frame house in North Hollywood that, I shit you not, it is the street that time forgot. Gary, I swear we've looked up this house before. I can't remember if it was on Vantage or what it was. It's like deep North Hollywood. It's still there today. Every street around it has been repaved. Everything is different. Not this one. It's got dirt for sidewalks. There's a dirt alley. It's a 600 square foot A-frame house built in, what's it cost? $9,000 to build that house in 1943. He bought that house for $13,000. That was the price tag of that car, of that house in the 70s. He was a veteran of World War I. He just came home from the European theater. No, it's not Hartsook Street. That's another house.
Wait, how far away was this place from the Van Nuys courthouse?
This house was around Laurel Canyon and Oxnard. So, and the Van Nuys, that's like Oxnard and Van Nuys. It was like, you know, intersections
Van Nuys
away.
Adjacent.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You could walk there if you had
to. Which is that's the flatlands of Van Nuys.
Oh, well, this was North Hollywood, but it was close enough. And this was an A-frame.
Well, wait, do you consider North Hollywood a downgrade from Van Nuys or an upgrade?
North Hollywood and Van Nuys used to be the same kind of just sort of suburbia, whatever. At a certain point,
As a 818 guy, I always considered North Hollywood a step up from Van Nuys.
Yeah, I had friends who lived in Van Nuys, and I lived in North Hollywood, and everything seemed to be about the same. But at a certain point, Van Nuys took a turn, man. I mean, a serious turn.
I consider the only way I would know it is growing up in Hardscrabble, La Cañada. I always thought in the 60s, La Cañada and La Crescenta were kind of even. But then La Cañada kind of just eclipsed La Crescenta. And then, God forbid, La Crescenta started to become Tohunga's Sunland.
So a lot of specific regional talk on today's episode.
I think the house was on Vantage, by the way.
Yeah. You can find Vantage. If you do Gary Winter street image things on Oxnard running into Vantage, you'll laugh your ass off. But anyway, or Vantage running into Oxnard. Anyway, point is this. That house, my dad could not afford to buy a window mount unit. My dad bought a mobile swamp cooler from Sears. This was a sheet metal box that was the size of a large piece of rolling luggage. And you would, in the bottom, it had like a hopper drawer, that like a flap that came forward, that you fill it with water. And if you're really gilding the lily, you'd open a crack ice cubes in it, you turn it, and then it had a squirrel fan in the top, and you just roll it next to you on the sofa. And it was really, here's how much, Mark, I'm going to cool you off as much as a swamp cooler cools you off on a hot dog days of summer day. You ready? You sitting there?
Right.
I'm going to do it. You ready?
Yeah.
You're feeling cooler? It was literally like the sound of something happening. It did not blow cold air, but it made a noise like something was happening. And I slept up in the loft of that A-frame, which would be about 180. It'd be like sleeping in the attic of a house that had no air conditioning and no insulation. It was awesome. Can you sue my parents? I know they're empty bags, but I want to do this symbolically.
Can I tell you what my apology is?
Yes.
I have an apology for RD listeners.
Please.
We give you the best hour in the universe. And wouldn't you say we try to keep up with the most topical stories that would, you know, intrigue, enthuse, engage our audience. And I now believe that I have failed our audience miserably. And Gary might be able to tell you why, because I sent it to him today and I said, Gary, I think I have completely failed my mission, my reasonable doubt, best hour in the universe mission, because there is a case that is literally happening in the LA Superior Court. And it's apparently the second time this case has been somehow made its way through the courts. And we haven't talked about it. We've ignored it. It hasn't even bubbled to the surface, and I feel completely inadequate and impotent because of this. Gary, can you please unveil the case?
Yeah, hold on. Does this have something to do with air conditioning? Because if it doesn't, I'm out.
I'm sure we can find a way to link it back.
All right.
We will. Yes, because actually you will need air conditioning because one of the participants is full of hot air.
Okay, here we go.
So we're talking about the case of a director and executive from Film On, whose name is Alki David, and he is being accused of sexual harassment by a former employee whose last name is Bloom. I'm not seeing her first right now, but regardless, Bloom is her attorney's name.
Her lawyer's name is Bloom.
Is that Lisa?
Daughter of Gloria, right?
Gloria, by the way, I did a deep dive on her this morning. She is not sexually. She is being inducted.
What? That would be air conditioning.
This. You're sweeter than my dad's swamp cooler. She is being inducted this month into the Women's Hall of Fame. Not the Barrister's Hall of Fame. The Women's Hall of Fame.
I'm in the trial lawyers, and I was going to say, I haven't seen her, but women's? What if you got into the Men's Hall of Fame?
Jesus, I don't know. But last year, I was at the induction ceremony, and unfortunately, they had booked Louis C.K. to do a tight 12 at the top. It just the timing couldn't have been worse. I'm sure at the time they booked him, they didn't have all this Me Too movement going on. Anyway, and then Harvey came in and did the keynote address.
I've got to tell you, Adam.
Yes.
So this case, there's a woman accuser. It's being tried in the L.A. Superior Court. This guy has got a company, as Gary said. It's Filmon, right? F-I-L-M-O-N?
Correct. Gary? Also Hologram USA is his other company.
Yeah. So, and didn't he do the hologram for Tupac or something? Is that where he made his dough?
I think he did. And in one of these other articles I read, he's apparently trying to buy the holographic rights to Bill Cosby so that he can remove the penis in holograph form. I don't know. This guy's a little eccentric.
Little. All right.
Okay. So, but did this guy also do Abe Lincoln at Disney? Yeah. Or no?
Yes.
Well, I think so, yes. But it appears he's done most of the big holographic
stuff. I think he did. I think
that
was his big break. But nevertheless, he's in a trial in the L.A. Superior Court, in the Moss Courthouse. And apparently he's getting sanctioned and threatened with sanctions every single day. Because all he does is he's decided he fired his lawyer. Filmon still got a lawyer. What's her name from Venable? Garofalo is his company's lawyer. But he has said individually, fuck you. I'm going to try this case. I'm going to be the pro per. For those of you who don't know, pro per is I'm representing myself. I'm going to be the pro per from hell. And I am not going to put up with this judge. I'm not going to put up with Lisa Bloom. And he apparently just in the last case where he got hit for $3 million and $5 million, he started calling Lisa Bloom the C word and blurting out that she's Gloria Allred's daughter and going psycho. And then in this case, he's apparently screaming at Lisa in the hallway and screaming at the judge. I wish this thing were on film. If there was ever going to be a case that should be on camera, this is the case.
Yeah, the courtroom sketch artist does not do these. I mean, when you're dropping C-bombs, it just there's no way. You can't go, oh, look at the shape
you
of his mouth.
Yeah,
you got to hear it.
Right. Gary, do you have some of this stuff? Did you do a little bit of the background? Because we really, I find it is my mea culpa that I have not done enough work on this and background on this and homework. I mean, I know I promised 3 weeks ago I was going to do a deep dive into Brian Banks while Gary was doing something else. But this case to me is just precious. I don't understand why we don't have more on it and why it hasn't got more attention.
What is the allegation beside all the hijinks on the side?
Apparently, two of the things I read is that the woman is suing did not think it was appropriate for him to grab her by the ankles and walk her around the office when he was holding her by the ankles so that her panties showed. Is that, Gary, did I get that right?
That is definitely one of the main accusations.
Yeah.
At
now,
least
I want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a problem? Do you think that's gender based? Because if you did that to Gary or I did that to Laxima, would that be a problem if we walked around the Corolla studios holding the guy upside down while wearing their Tommy Johns?
I suppose. I personally have, I am from a bygone era. I do not understand three quarters of what's going on in today's world. I was saying it's insane unless you're sliding into a Tommy John bit. I will tell you that I was telling Max Zapata today, I said they're buzzwords for eras, for like decades. So if you were around in the 50s, it was the jet age. It was jet, and cars were like shaped like jets, and they would say it's a jet or whatever. Then you got to the 60s, it was rocket. It was outer space. Like that was the theme. There were so many design cues. You got to the 80s, it was turbo. There was like colognes called Turbo Cologne. It was turbocharge your life and, you know, turbo supplements. Then it got into stealth. Stealth was like the 90s. Everything, again, colognes and men's apparel. There were buzzwords for the decade. This thing is now either the word brave or a synonym for bravery. Like when these guys are launching their gubernatorial campaigns, like, brave enough to stand up to Trump, brave enough, join me in my brave cause. We all deserve heroes. It's like, it's all this hero bravery shit. Everyone's a fucking hero. Everyone is brave. I don't even know what's going on anymore. I'm a guy who's fucking got head. I spent my entire youth in a headlock with some guy trying to tear my fucking head off and sleeping next to a swamp cooler in a fucking a sweat lodge. I have no idea what everyone has to be brave about. And everyone's suing everybody. Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. Did you mention sleep?
Yes. Sleep? I've sweating my ass off.
You know, it's funny you should mention that. You know why?
Aha.
Uh-huh. You know who's one of our newest sponsors?
Eight Sleep,
yes.
EightSleep.com. Chronic sleep deprivation leads to depression, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease. How many hours do we need a day? 8 hours.
Well, you know what?
And
7.5 from a sleep expert standpoint. 7.5 is your rhythm.
Yeah, but you know what one of the biggest sleep problems is, Adam?
Heat.
You just mentioned it. Heat, temperature. How many times did you sit out on the den wanting to hang out with either your dad or your stepdad in order to get a little bit of sleep relief, right?
That was like,
but
that would be like wanting to play chicken in a swimming pool, but having to put Hitler on your shoulders. That's what it was like going into that den.
Let me Marco Polo that. The pod by 8 Sleep, high tech bed designed to achieve optimal sleep. It was developed by sleep researchers after tracking 43 million hours of sleep. But you know why they had to do that? Because they didn't talk to Adam. Because Adam would have combined the dynamic temperature regulation, sleep tracking, would have learned your habits and adjusted the temperature automatically. You would not have had to go into the den, interrupt your stepdad. You try this pod for 100 nights. If you don't love it, guess what?
They'll return it. You can return. They'll pick it up for free.
They'll refund it.
That's right. They'll
arrange a free pickup, but you'll never want that because right now for a limited time, you get not 50, not 100. You get how much?
I don't know.
150 off.
Really?
Your purchase at, yes, $150 off your purchase at 8sleep.com/doubt. That is EIGHTSLEEP.com/doubt.
They could have saved my childhood. They could have saved. Mark, when I slept in the garage of my dad's second house in North Hollywood with no ceiling fan and no air and no window unit and no anything, I would get up every night at about 2:30, 3 in the morning. I would hop the 6-foot cinder block fence and I would go into my neighbor's swimming pool. And they had a dog. And I would jump that fence in the middle of the night with the cockroaches on it and everything because it was so hot outside. And I would lower myself into their pool. And I would get out and I'd lay back on my bed. Imagine if I had 8 Sleep back then. All right. So
you
this
had 8
yeah,
Sleep back then.
This hologram guy is nuts.
Yeah. And then Gary, can you give us some details?
And
he
I will
said
say
a couple of specific things.
Lisa Bloom was retained by Weinstein in the height of his Me Too days. And she got a little fragged a couple years ago because she was on the payroll. Remember?
Absolutely. And apparently she was going to get, I think it was a book deal.
Right. And something happened. She got caught
well,
up.
It became Gloria. Gloria fragged her. Gloria called her out.
Gloria,
I mean, how bad is that?
Gloria, who's heading into the female Hall of Fame?
Exactly, because I think she's got a documentary now called Seeing All Red.
Oh, really?
Isn't that clever? Yeah.
I was.
By the way, was that a Chassis Media production?
No, I don't think she's a fan of mine. And I was telling somebody, can I ask you this? I have an intellectual attorney question for you. Okay?
Okay.
when I was famously arguing with her, and that's where my famous line where she was explaining she didn't know if Michael Richards, this was going to, him dropping 100 N-bombs was going to help or hurt his career. And I said to her, it's going to hurt his career. And she said, well, you don't know that. And I said, yes, I do. And she said, no, you don't. And you don't have a crystal ball. And I said, no, I have a crystal brain and I understand things. Now, I said to her, we were basically having an argument. The argument was, is we don't know if him dropping 1,000 N-bombs at the Laugh Factory is going to help or hurt his career. I said to her, if you're still there, Mark. Oh, Mark's calling back. Is that a Skype thing? Do we have him back?
Yeah, Mark. I'm back.
So I said,
You know what happened? You dropped the N-bomb in my phone automatically.
Interesting. You're such a woke phone.
I've got woke phones.
It's got the Samsung woke. When Kaepernick calls, a rainbow shoots out of it.
Hey, wait a second. You want to talk Kaepernick? What's the name of the guy who got signed today? Who apparently his background was that he'd learned how to play quarterback by playing video games. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I've heard about this with race car drivers and stuff by playing the video games. But how do you learn it from video games and football?
God only knows.
Luis Perez.
Well, everybody's very upset about
Luis Perez. What team signed him?
The Lions, and there's conflicting reports about video games and YouTube, but yeah, he appears to have been self-taught.
Andrew Luck is gone. Right.
We signed him, yet Kaepernick, we're not going to bring him out because we're not sure that he still knows how to learn the system.
Why can't he get a tryout? I don't get the tryout.
I'm going to. I hate to say it because I'm sure I'm violating something or other, but it's almost time for me to do another lawsuit. I'm kind of itching.
It's been a whole 3 minutes.
Anyway,
how many people did you sue since we're on the phone? Are you using your feet to sue people?
I've got a lawsuit foot fetish, yes.
All right. I want to hear more about this guy. I was saying that here's my challenge.
Indulge me.
I want to challenge you, and Gary will look it up. Can I challenge you?
Please.
If you were explaining to me, as an attorney, that we don't know if this Michael Richards thing is going to help or hurt his career, and we don't have a crystal ball, and I said to you, well, here's how we can do it. If you asked his agent and you asked his manager, would you prefer this never happen? If the answer is a resounding yes, we wish this would go away, then I think we have experts and I think we've asked the question and I think they've answered the question. And she then responded with, we're not here to talk about them. How would you intellectually reply to that?
I would immediately respond, by the way, those are the immediate witnesses that you would call what I affectionately call the 5 and 10% crowd, because they, as you well know better than anybody, Adam, they take 5% and 10% of everything you earn. And if you're trying to prove damages, which, by the way, is a legal remedy for the, if we're talking legal, those would be the people who would immediately be able to voice or give voice to a theory of damages.
Right. All right. Do you have, Gary, more about the hologram nut job?
Yeah. I mean, there's some quotes here from him. I mean, he's done some.
I'd like to hear some quotes, Gary. That's what I want to hear.
I mean,
who's better, this guy or the Bikram yoga guy?
The Bikram yoga guy is way better.
Do you know the Bikram yoga guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but like, this guy's got some good.
All right,
this guy's got some good stuff, okay, but no women would pay $1 million for one drop of my cum. It's like, or whatever.
You're accused of raping women.
But this guy is just This is somebody, I mean, tell the, give some of the quotes, Gary, and then we'll kind of riff on it.
Well, he referred to the person in question, the accuser, as a crazy prostitute. He allegedly forced her to watch the Two Girls, One Cup video. He then went on in the course of the trial to start selling a t-shirt that was advertised by him wearing a t-shirt that said, "Fuck me too." It was a hashtag.
Does this guy have a crazy nationality?
Yes, he does.
Oh, good. This always feels like weird culture to me.
I don't know exactly what it is.
It's not Murph from Union 76, is it?
No, he's a Greek billionaire.
This is F me money, right?
You can always, yeah. No, this is F me money.
This is the definition of F me money. Always better than F you.
There is no better definition, because this guy got hit for $8 million. And he just doubled down and said, "Okay, you think $8 million is going to fuck with me? I am going to show you." And boom, he does it.
Gary says he's at 11. He got hit with 11, Gary, or 8?
What I'm reading, a couple of things I've read have said 11. He lost a case to another accuser, Charity Jones, or Chastity Jones.
Chastity Jones. You get sued by Chastity.
Yes.
There's a problem. That's a case that your insurance company should settle.
When you're sitting,
you don't want to be sued by Chastity.
When you're across the aisle from this guy in a courtroom, are you just hearing a cash register the more this guy pops off? Like, you're just getting richer every syllable this guy drops out of his mouth. Are you just hearing money come raining down, Mark, if you're on the other side of this guy?
The idea that this guy is your defendant, and he's obviously just kind of lost his moorings, and he's got a deep pocket, and you've got a company that's sitting next to him that's going to be the collateral damage. This is a trial lawyer's wet dream.
Now, is Lisa, does she get into court? I know her mom doesn't get into court.
I can't even believe Lisa all of a sudden is going to get into the trial lawyers Hall of Fame on the back of this case. It's unbelievable. This reminds me of? Remember the guy, what is his name, who sued Robert Blake after Robert Blake won the criminal case? And mind you, it wasn't Robert Blake. I've read a couple of articles recently who mistakenly claiming that what's his name? The guy who kind of looks like an old lady who's a defense lawyer, I forget his name, tried Michael Jackson's case after I became the witness. But they were saying he had won Blake's case, and he didn't win Blake's case. Gerald Schwartzbach won Blake's case. And so there was kind of a hue and cry about that it was a horrible result, blah, blah, blah. And this lawyer took Blake to trial. And I think Blake either represented himself or fired his lawyer midway through. And this guy won like a $25 or a $30 million judgment. He was kind of the
$30 million.
It was like OJ Redux, right?
Yeah. Gary says 30 is. Let me just jump in for a second. Robert Blake was accused of like basically shooting his wife in the face out front outside of Vitello's Italian place I used to eat at.
Yeah, which was right down the street from your stepdad's.
I wish we lived on that side. I wish we lived that close to Ventura Boulevard. I got to be honest with you.
Okay, but that was very Van Nuys Court.
That is. Now, his wife, as we started scratching her lotto ticket. Yeah, like Tammy Faye Blakely or something, or Bunny Blakely
or Bonnie Lee Blakely.
Yes.
Okay. Wait, Robert Blakely. Okay. As we started scratching her lottery ticket and finding out that she was having other relationships and like charging men for topless pictures of herself and things of that nature, how much of that sways the case? How much of it,
isn't that era-centric? Because right now you can go on the internet and you can find naked titty pics, right?
Evidently.
Can you imagine back then, some poor guy who didn't realize if he had just waited 5 years for the future, she could have gotten it for free, and instead he's got this woman charging him.
She had also had like a relationship with like Lorenzo Lamas Jr. or something. Like she had like another celebrity guy. I don't know who it was, Gary, but there's like another.
It looks like she was dating Christian Brando.
Christian Brando.
And then she had a child with him while dating Robert Blake. Case? And then it turned out there was a paternity test later, and it ended up being Blake's child.
Christian Brando shot his girlfriend in the face too, right?
Let me do some reading.
And as I remember, didn't Bob Shapiro plead this guy to a voluntary manslaughter, and then Marlon went crazy afterwards and hassled Bob about it? I mean, there's so many. L.A. is the best place on earth for criminal cases.
Jesus Christ. So
this says he shot the boyfriend of his half-sister.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Boyfriend.
And then he was tried in the Santa Monica courthouse. But before trial, they pled him to a manslaughter, right, Gary? Didn't he get like a double-digit years?
I think he did end up with manslaughter. I haven't seen his incarceration.
And I think he got like 10 years, and then they challenged Shapiro's competency. And then I think he's out now, and he's had a couple of minor scandals since. But that's a deep dive for next week.
Christian Brando's dead.
Right. But he had scandals before that. But he was released, was he not?
Here's how I recall it.
I think he served his time.
He didn't do real time or sufficient time for shooting for killing a guy. You think he did?
Sentenced.
All right, I think he did.
I think he got.
What's the over under on time he did for you, Mike?
I would say the over and under is 7 years. He did more than 7.
I'm going under, and then killed himself or was killed, OD'd or something shortly there.
I think self-inflicted. Self-inflicted.
All right, so killed himself. I say we both agree on killed himself, but I'm under 7 years.
You're under 7, I'm over 7. What about ineffective assistance to counsel against Shapiro?
One of you, okay. You're both wrong about self-inflicted, and Adam is right. He served 5 years after taking a plea deal when they couldn't get the woman in question to testify. But
I started off with OD, by the way. Mark swayed me into self-inflicted, but
it was pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Come on, pneumonia.
It doesn't give details as to whether that was from extreme alcoholism.
When a client calls me and says, can you call the medical examiner and have him change the cause of death to pneumonia, and I say, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah. It's like when the 23-year-old rock star has to cancel the performances for dehydration and exhaustion.
Yeah.
No, they just go, I'm exhausted. Yeah. Like, they're not dehydrated at 23. Drink some Powerade and get the hell out there.
So 5 years. Wait, Gary, what was he sentenced to?
It looks like he pleaded guilty to manslaughter and spent 5 years in prison, but it doesn't say.
Spent is meaningless, but what was he sentenced to? That's the problem.
I'll look. But it was all based on a plea deal.
I wasn't doing good time, work time. I was doing what was he sentenced to. Because back then, you used to probably get one for one on a violent crime.
Nobody ever did better than Dominique Dunn's killer.
Oh, my God. That guy, what was that guy? He was a chef, right? Dominic's daughter's killer.
He was sentenced to 10.
Chef, and I think he did.
Brando was sentenced to 10.
Dominic Dunn's killer. Now, how do we resolve that bet when sentenced to 10 but did 5? And the over and under was what, 7?
Yeah, you were right on. He also, Dominic Dunn's killer didn't do more than 3.5. He did like 42
months.
Yeah,
and that was also a manslaughter, and that was also, I think, the same court. I think that was also Santa Monica Court.
And Mark, let me tease this, but
yes,
we used to have crimes of passion. It was like, well, he was her ex-boyfriend, and he was waiting outside, and she came outside, and he choked the life out of her. Well, that's murder, right? No, because he was super passionate. Like, okay. How's that manslaughter? Manslaughter is me driving drunk and hitting a Mexican busboy riding a 10-speed with no reflectors home in a rainstorm. That's manslaughter. Not going over to someone's house and choking them until they die with my hands. I would call that murder. but I think we used to look at it as crimes of passion. I'm going to tease it. Are there crimes of passion now? Does that even work? Would that argument work in a courtroom now? Like, well, he killed her with his hands, but she dumped him.
I know you're teasing it, but I only have one question. Who is the advertiser that gets teased into the question?
NetSuite, Oracle NetSuite. NetSuite.
Oh,
Oracle
well that,
NetSuite.
That makes
the problem.
Sense.
Your businesses. Businesses are growing, and it's a hodgepodge of business systems. One for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory. It's a mess. NetSuite by Oracle. It's management software that handles all aspects of your business. Easy to use. It's an easy to use, and it's on the cloud. So it's a cloud platform. Save time, save money, save headaches by managing sales, finance, accounting, orders, HR instantly and right from your desktop or phone. The world's number one cloud business system, Oracle NetSuite. And right now, NetSuite is offering valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits. So let's get out there and make some money, people, at netsuite.com/doubt. That's netsuite.com/doubt. Download your free guide. Go to 7 key strategies to grow your profits, or check out 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/doubt. All right, Gary, so what about the crime of passion? I feel like that doesn't fly anymore, right?
Well, it does, specifically when it comes to a homicide, the killing of another. Whether or not you've got malice is negated by the arguably by the crime of passion. So there you go. That's your answer.
But the guy
being
who,
that the fact that this is Lynette's birthday week, do we really want to go there?
I'm just saying, I'm not tilling any soil. I'm just, by the by. What I'm saying
You're
is
a hypothetical.
Hypothetically,
kind of
I'm saying the guy who killed Dominique Dunn killed her with his hands in the middle of a driveway. And the argument is like he was jilted by her and he was humiliated. And now he saw red and he killed her and he did 3.5 years. Could you pull that off today?
Yeah. You know what? Because I've always thought, and I've heard prosecutors argue this in trials I've been in, a gun is very dispassionate. A knife is very passionate, and strangulation is the most passionate.
Wow.
So
I buy it.
If you're going to grade that, that would be the way I'd put it.
I guess what I'm saying is 100 years ago, if your wife had an affair, you could shoot her in bed and you wouldn't get convicted because she humiliated you. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, 10 weeks ago, if you caught your wife in bed in Texas, you could shoot the guy and her.
Well, you know, we've been talking about moving there for tax reasons, but this is another perk. All right. Mark, when you we'll go out on a high note.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, Adam. There we go.
You can check out Adam Carolla's Unprepared, Napa Uptown Theater, September 27th in Napa. I'm doing stand-up there. Doing stand-up at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City, October 25th, 26th. You go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows and Chassis, 2 S's and a Y for not Taco Bell material, and many other docs as well. What do you got, Mark?
I've got, when this drops, it'll be Saturday, and the following day, Sunday, will be the Big Three Championship at Staples. Hopefully, you'll be there, Adam.
Yeah.
Bring Sonny, maybe even your daughter as well. We've got 10E, Mediterranean Tapas Downtown, Engine Company 28, V Palm Springs, and the Casa Tropicana in San Clemente, and, as always, the Capri Southampton, with the pop-up Brooklyn Chop House and Prova Pizzeria in Grand Central Terminal and Times Square.
So Oh, and also check out 22 Hours, an American Nightmare podcast on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.